I think we'll read in Luke. No. 24 verses 36 to the end of the chapter. Here we go. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Thank God I made it. Wow. What a time to get a tickle. Bless him, Lord. Thank you very much. All right. I started out this morning as I was praying in my office. And I thought I was going to be in Revelation 22, starting with verse 3, where we've been studying. And the Lord is trying to get something straight in my mind. When I woke up today, I had a very clear consciousness of what we would call heaven or paradise. And not that I could see everything there. I was very aware of it, and I am right now as I'm standing here. And I thought, well, this is great. You know, what a thing to look forward to. And it's kind of like Disneyland in the sky. In fact, in Fantasyland, at Disneyland, and these other kind of things with rainbows and children and just whatever, these things come out of cartoonists and artists, creative people who are able to graphically portray what is in the heart of people, because we were created in a garden and we were created in paradise, and that memory of paradise is in us. That's why we like gardens. It's why we like nature. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking how wonderful that is. And to be, to die and go into the spirit realm where everything is wonderful. And there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's none of the things. In fact, I've read a great deal about visions of heaven. I'm an aficionado of this subject. And I have several books of people that have had near-death experiences and have come back and reported what they have seen. And one picture that a lady had, she was dead clinically and then was restored. And she saw a picture of children playing in an orchard. And she said, I didn't want to come back. It was so wonderful, I didn't want to come back. And I think we all can appreciate that this morning. We ought to have a hope in us so that we don't fear death. We do not fear death. We hold this world lightly. Are you holding the world lightly? Or are you gripping it and trying to clutch things and the burden of them and the problems? Anybody here have problems this morning? Problems. And it seems like it's going to last forever. But it's good every once in a while to just let go of this. Just let go of it and realize it's not going to be forever. And someday you'll be out of here. And other people can pay your taxes and mess with your credit cards and the damage that you've done. Every once in a while I think of the stupid things I've done in my life. I could write a book. The Stupid Things Done by Robert P. Thompson. His life, it'd be fairly thick. That was the first thing that came to my mind. This and this consciousness of I don't like to say heaven, because the Bible talks about heavens, plural. It isn't just any old heaven. It's paradise. Paul said he was caught up to paradise, and it's paradise. It's a word of uncertain origin, but they think it's a Persian word meaning garden. And this astronomy, and I got up thinking, oh God, take these memories out of me. And the Lord said to me, "You've received as much as you've given." So that. Audrey says, that ought to be a comfort to you. But anyway, that being as it may, I was thinking about my books about the other world, how nice it is to just let go and realize someday all this that you're concerned about will be gone and you'll be free from this. It's a wonderful thing. However, I know enough of the Bible to know that this is not what is portrayed in the Bible. I know that. I've been preaching the kingdom of God for many years, and I know that's where God is going. And it will be on the earth, and I know that too. So I said to the Lord, says I, where does this come together? Why wouldn't it be nice to just leave gravity and cold and heat? I think one thing that we don't really understand is what goes on in the spirit realm. Someone, and I don't remember whether it's Brother Frodsham or not, but someone had they had stepped out of the second story of their house, just out the window. You don't have to worry about falling. And from there they took off, and they were flying somewhere, and as they looked down, they could see missionaries teaching natives. Well, that's kind of wild. But if you stop to think of it, just within all of our lifetimes, there's been this incredible massacre in Africa, and millions of people have died. You think, where do they go? You know, these are not all bad people that God is going to send into the lake of fire. These are just people. And you think about the aborted fetuses. You think about all these people that die in India. They die by the rafts. It's nothing to read in the paper, you know, 600 people died in a typhoon. Or there was all these Indians on a train. They were going to go over to the Ganges or some river and celebrate the Hindu gods and the thing blew up or burned up or rolled over or something. We read it and say, oh yeah, what's next? Where's the comics? I don't realize 600 people. And all of these with loved ones and all of these. Whoa. But you know, when you die, you don't really go anywhere. I mean, you're not lost. All of these people are known to God. And a lot of them need to be taught. A lot of children die. There's children dying right now in Children's Hospital in San Diego. And their parents are grieving and weeping. And the child is... I remember the story of little Daisy Dryden. How many have read the story of Daisy Dryden? Anybody in here? Little Daisy Dryden from Stockton. Her grave marker is up in Stockton, California. And before she died... she was 4 or 5 days dying. Her father was a minister, and people would come because she was able to see into the spirit realm. And she says, there's people as far as, starting at the foot of my bed, there's people as far as you can see. And so different ones would come and say, well, do you see so-and-so? And she'd say, well, yeah, I see. And then one lady came and said, do you see my boy? He died. And she said, oh, yes, he's here. He's here. And then she asked about her husband who had died. And Daisy said, no, he's not here. And so, by the way, this is a little chilly up here. How are you doing down there? How are the troops doing? I can't always gauge my temperature. A little on the chilly side? I got the cooler on. All right. Well, we're cool. All right, now... And they asked Daisy all kinds of questions, and they said, well, how do they speak to you? And she said, she's about 10 years old, and she said, they speak to your think. You hear it in your mind. And then she died, little girl. But anyway, there's a lot of people that die in the world, millions, that have very little instruction as far as God is concerned. And these are not wicked people. They're not evil people. They're just people. And they need instruction. They need to be taught about the Lord. And of course, being a teacher, I'm very concerned in that. But I believe that my personal opinion, I couldn't prove it from the scripture, but my personal opinion is that after you die, life goes on. You don't evaporate. You don't cease to be. You go on, but you go on without a body. That's the difference. You go on without a body. So here's this realm of people, billions of them probably by this time, and all this activity, and they're being taught and learning about God. And of course, the wicked don't get up there. They go with the demons when they die. There's been some real gruesome deathbed experiences of people that have rejected Christ and were hoping to make a deathbed confession of faith. And when they got to their dying moments, they found out they weren't able to do it because repentance is a gift. And one of them was saying something to the effect, they've got me by the feet, they've got me by the feet, referring to evil spirits. So the next world is very, very real, and God does not hate everybody, and he's not going to throw them all into the lake of fire. It's commonly taught, you know, that if you don't accept Christ, you go into the lake of fire, but most people have never heard of Christ. In fact, I was told that there's a place in northern India that they not only never heard of Christ, they never heard of Israel, they never heard of the Bible. So, to throw people in the lake of fire. Now, if you believe that, fine, but that doesn't make much sense to me. Not when God, when all the angels are crying, holy, holy, righteous art thou, O Lord, doesn't compute. He's going to take all these people and throw them into the lake of fire. That does not register at all with me, and there's no scripture for it either. It's just religious, morbid, religious way of perverting common sense. So here's this wonderful world. It's like Disneyland, only much better, because Disneyland's filled with some good stuff and some bad stuff. Amen? Some of them quite good. And anyway, the kids are fighting, and it's a, you know how that goes. So it's all that. It's Disneyland without the problems. And it's God's natural habitat. And that's a thing we've got to think about a lot, too. That our original paradise on earth, Eden, the Garden of Eden, had not only the beauty of the of that environment, the Disneyland environment, but it also God was there. And, you know, it wouldn't be much shakes of a paradise if Jesus and God weren't there. So we have two things that we really want that are really in our heart. One is to get back into that paradise and away from the crazy world that's full of war and torment and cancer and drugs and everything else, to get out of here and go to a place where there's no profanity and there's no stealing and there's no lying and no gossip and slander and none of these things, and no sickness, and where we can enjoy ourselves. But at the same time, we have another desire in our heart, and that is to go where God is. If you're a righteous person, whether you're a Christian or not, you have a desire to go where God is. That's why Andrew put out the proverb there, Jesus is the way to the Father. He's much more than the way to paradise. He's the way to the Father. And paradise without God would not cut it for me, and I'm sure it wouldn't cut it for you. I want God, and I'll take God first. Whether it's paradise or it isn't, I've got to have God. And I'm sure you do too. So we have those two desires that man had originally in the Garden of Eden. We don't want to live in a cursed world. We don't want to live where there's pain and trouble and sorrow. And we want God. We want to know that we're right with God and we're not hostile toward God. So I was thinking all these things this morning, and I said, well, Lord, okay, there's this world, and it's very real to me right now while I'm talking to you. There is this very world of angels and peace and God and people going about their business. And it's wonderful. But you've charged me to preach your kingdom. Why, when we've got all this to go to, and it's there, and it's real. And then I thought about coming back on the war stallions and fighting with sinners and driving the devil out of the earth and all this. That doesn't sound red hot to me, to be honest with you. But I said, Lord, I know it's right, but put it together. Put it together. So something is being birthed in my spirit. And so if I'm a little foggy, it's because I got this all at the last minute. So bear with me. You know how that goes. Thompson sometimes is hard to follow. Well, anyway, I felt the Lord is telling me something about this. I don't have it all clear, but I'll give to what I have. It has to do with the resurrection. And of course, it's a good time of the year. Usually on Mother's Day, I preach about Joel's army, so I'm not always keyed to the calendar, you know. But it all has to do with the resurrection. And so we see this in where we read this morning in Luke. This is more characteristic of the Bible than this vision that I'm telling you, that I'm seeing and that I'm feeling. See, that is not portrayed in the scripture. When we see the next world, we see like in Revelation 7, we see the souls in white robes standing before the throne of God with palms in their hand. I think it says, doesn't it, Revelation 7, palms in their hand? Or we see them standing on the sea of glass. See, we don't see this kind of paradise with people being taught and children running around in orchards and playing. We don't see that in the Scripture. It's not in the Scripture. It comes from the visions of the saints and the hopes of the saints and the memory of man that goes back to the garden. But Luke 24:36 is more characteristic of the Bible. Now, you've heard me talk about the philosophy of Gnosticism. Well, see, Gnosticism teaches, it was very influential on Christianity, it has been to this day, but it teaches that our final destination is the spirit realm. It also teaches that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead physically. That's why in 1 John, you know, who is he that is Antichrist, but he that denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Well, John, the Apostle John was combating Gnosticism because Gnosticism teaches that the physical world is evil. The material world is evil and spirit is good. That's a fundamental premise of Gnosticism. So Gnostics maintain that Jesus did not rise physically. This is a real issue. Back in the first century, when Gnosticism was so strong, and we don't realize it, but it's carried over to this very day with some of our beliefs. And of course, other religions, every religion, except Christianity, that I'm aware of, postulates a paradise in the spirit realm. The Indian happy hunting ground, for example, is a good example of typical religions, particularly Eastern religions. The place where we'll go, where there's good hunting, and it's just a happy place to be. And that is carried over into that's typical of religion. And it's carried over into the Christian religion, but it's not part of the Christian religion. The Christian religion doesn't teach that. It teaches what we're reading here. Now, while they were still talking about this, they didn't know about, they were reflecting on Jesus talking to people on the road to Emmaus and so on. And he came and himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now this is after he had died, as we saw on the overhead there. This is after he had died. This is a man who came back to life physically. Well, that doesn't happen every day. And he said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet." And why is that? Why don't he say, "Look at my face"? Because of the nail prints. He was showing them that it was really he himself. Look, touch me. Now, the fact that there was nail prints in his hands and his feet, and the fact that the cave of Joseph of Arimathea was empty, and it's still empty, if you want to go over there and look at it, there's nothing in there, tells us that Jesus was not resurrected spiritually. He was resurrected physically. Now, that poses a problem. Because it gives you a great big question mark. Why? You don't need a body to go into the happy land in the spirit realm. You don't need a body for that. It is no use. What do you need it for? You can step out of your second story window and float over the countryside. Why do you need a body? And you know, for centuries in Christianity, the doctrine of the resurrection has been lost. The idea is, yeah, we'll be resurrected, but the kind of idea isn't real. And what's the difference if you can die and go into the spirit realm and you can teach people and they can be taught and they're all having a blast playing games around an apple tree? What's this with the body? I don't quite compute. I don't see any sense to it. No sense to the resurrection. There's no sense to it. It doesn't add anything to the program. And I like to quote Fanny Crosby, and I have many times, to give you the prevailing sense that abides among us Christians: this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. In other words, body, get out of here. I want to be free. I want to ascend. I want to go where is all peace and joy. And leave my body out of it. It's caused nothing. Of course, some of you are quite young. You don't see that yet. Yeah, but give it like 50 years and you begin to get the message. I don't need this. Young people have a hard time with that one. Why the resurrection? Why? We don't need it. We don't go to heaven by being resurrected. We go there by dying. So what is this? That's out on the sign, you may have noticed, says we'll be resurrected so we can once again enjoy the earth. All right. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones. Now, that's true. There isn't a ghost going around that's got flesh and bones. As you see, I have flesh and bones. What's missing? Blood. Blood. No blood. So, to be resurrected, you still have your skeleton. You still have your flesh, because a skeleton without flesh, that isn't doing it. But no blood. Well, how do you stay warm? How do you stay warm? How did Jesus stay warm? Let me take all the blood out of a person, he'll get cold. No idea. By the Holy Spirit. Life, metabolism changes from blood to the Spirit of God, which is a big improvement on the situation. Big improvement on the situation. You never get tired anymore. You never get sick anymore. You can't die anymore. Very much improved. And if you get cut, you don't bleed. How could you ever get cut? Well, you could. You stepped on a nail or something. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, can't you imagine them staggering around? What is it? Whoa. Am I seeing things? What did they put in my wine? What's going on? Do you have anything here to eat? Here to eat? Here's God raised from the dead. He's hungry already. You think they eat up in heaven? You never thought about that, did you? You just want to go there, but you don't know whether they eat or not. What would you do? Alright. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Now, I'm not greatly into fish, but fresh fish, if it's broiled, does not taste fishy. And so that makes it acceptable. And I'm sure it had been filleted. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So, when we find the resurrection in Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. God grant that to us this morning, starting with me. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And he rose physically. And he rose in the same body. Well, what if I get hit on the head with an atom bomb? You'll still rise in the same body. Well, how can that be? Because God made you from dust in the first place. And he has no problem tagging your molecules and putting you together. So don't stagger at God. He's greater than we know. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he, now here's a man, flesh and bones, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Was there anyone else in the Bible that went up to heaven in their flesh and bones? Who? Elijah? He went up flesh, bones and blood. And who else? Enoch? Went up. So we don't understand much, do we? Whoa. What happens on the way up? What are they doing up there? Going around in their flesh and bones and blood. All right, so I'm asking God to put this together in my mind. Where in the world? Why? How many know when a thing isn't broke, you don't try to fix it? Did you know that? If it's not broke, don't try to fix it. Well, if we've got such a perfect world to go to, why mess it around with it? Why not? Do you know that we're going to be raised from the dead? John 5:28-29. I think the Lord laid that on me this Easter season. Don't concentrate on the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. That's the message. But that we're going to be raised from the dead, which kind of brings it down close to home. Do not be amazed, for a time is coming when almost everyone who are in their graves will hear his voice. Right? What? As in detergent. All. Does that include you? Little old you? We used to have a song, "Whosoever surely meaneth me." Does it meaneth you? Are you going to be raised from the dead? Are you going to be raised from the dead whether you like it or not? Yeah. We'll hear his voice. You're gonna hear his voice. Well, where will you be? You'll be in the spirit realm. Well, it says they're all that are in their graves. Well, are you in your grave if you're dead, or are you in the spirit realm? Does your spirit stay with your body when you die? So you're not there, are you? Well, how can all that are in the graves hear his voice? Boy, you're sure asking a lot of questions, Thompson. I don't know. I didn't come to hear questions. I want the answer. Well, I'll have you know that Jesus is the answer, but he's also the question. What do we do with Jesus? That's the question. So you're going to hear his voice while you're in the spirit realm, and I guess you're going to come back, bang, into your body. And it says, and come out. Oh, just like Jesus did. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. All right, so the biggest single event in your life will be the moment that you are raised from the dead. And next to that event, physical death is relatively insignificant. Physical death doesn't change anything. Physical death merely removes your inward spiritual nature from your physical nature, separates the two of them. Your physical goes into decomposition and your spiritual somewhere wherever God puts it. So that's not all that significant. But what is significant is this event. That is truly the thing to think about all your life. That's the thing to think about. What's going to happen to me when I get called up? But I don't want to get called up. Well, you're going to get called up. Your day will come. Just like in the Marine Corps, call your name. Here, sir! Now, what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is, why is God going to take the trouble to raise our body from the dead when we may already be up in the spirit realm playing with the children, having a wonderful time, as someone said, singing and shouting and dancing abouting. Do you see my quandary? Don't go to sleep on me. This bothers me. I don't know. Why? Why mess around? Why try to fix something that's working? And imagine, here you are, you die. All right, you've been a good person. You serve the Lord. You've done his will. You die, the angels come. Maybe Jesus comes to meet you. You rise up. You meet all your relatives and your friends. Oh, thank God. I don't have to worry about April 15th. I don't have to worry about biopsies. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm here. I finally made it. Does that sound good? Huh? No more mergers. Mergers are over. You don't have to worry about them. You don't have to worry about skullduggery. You don't have to worry about people and all their con artistry. You don't have to worry about politics. You don't have to worry about anything. You've made it. You're with God. You're with Jesus. You're a happy camper. Okay? Fine. I mean, it's great. As long as it lasts. And then what happens? The Lord decides to come back to earth. And he wants you with him. Because he's got this idea, he's going to clean sin out of the earth. Are you going to be willing to go? After you've had your time in your mansion? You've had your time just enjoying the beauty of the spirit paradise? How are you going to feel when the Lord wants you to come back to earth? To appear with him. And what's on the earth? Antichrist, the false prophet, the wicked nations of the world. Here you've been enjoying, you can eat all the ice cream you want and not get fat, and look. Back into the thing you came out of. Again, why? When you've got it made, and the Lord's got all his family up there, those that he doesn't have up there, he can bring up. Why this? Why the biblical emphasis on the material realm? Let's turn to Isaiah 11. I'm not sure I'm going to give you an answer. Maybe some of you will have the answer. I don't know. Or maybe the Lord will show me. If he does, I'll probably write about it. Isaiah 11, starting with verse 3. All right. Now, this is speaking about the Messiah, Christ. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Now let me ask you a question. Today, when you think about the situation in the world today, is there any need for the poor and the needy to receive assistance? Or is everything pretty well taken care of? Does this world need any improvement? You know, we don't get to tell all the wonderful things that go on. If you ask Lloyd politely, he'll share with you. He's a graduate of West Point, and he and his old buddies write to him about stuff that's going on. For one thing, what interested me, that in the West Point now, if I got it right, Lloyd, out of 4,000, what do you call them, cadets, 1,000, one-fourth of them meet. How often, Lloyd?
On Tuesday nights for Bible study.
1,000 West Point cadets. And another wonderful story from Kandahar where they couldn't pull off an operation because of the weather. And the commanding officer asked the chaplain to pray for good weather so that they could finish their operation. And the chaplain did, and the weather cleared up. And they finished their operation, and the chaplain, what was he awarded?
Army Medal.
Yeah, the first medal given in Operation Freedom was given to a chaplain for praying. You didn't read that in the paper, did you? That's what actually happened. We don't hear the things that God is doing. We got a wicked world we live in. That should have been the front page of the paper. But now we see something that, when Christ returns, he's going to give decisions for the poor of the earth. He'll strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Why? When he's got it made. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Good thing for us, too. If God wasn't faithful, it'd be best that we'd never been born. The wolf will lie with the lamb. Notice it doesn't say there'll be no more wolves. But their nature will be changed. The leopard will lie down with the goat. Can you imagine a goat and a leopard? The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. This isn't talking about heaven. This isn't going on in heaven. This is where I'm going this morning. This that we're reading about here is not taking place in heaven. Very important to understand. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Now that's something. Lion eating straw. You have to put them out to pasture with the cows. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. One reason why I've aged so much during my life is worrying about kids. They don't kill themselves. I tell them, don't run on the concrete. Don't run on the concrete out there. I don't want to be sweeping up your brains with the broom. No more worry about kids. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Now look here. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. The earth. All of this that we associate with heaven, and this is one of the main passages that when people refer to heaven, this is it. It's on the earth. That's the answer to the question. That's why the resurrection. Because what God is bringing us to, as marvelous as the spirit paradise is, and it is far more marvelous than I could ever describe, as marvelous as it is, somehow, this is better. If it weren't better, God would not be moving in this direction. He never moves from the lesser, from the greater to the lesser. Never. So, we've got to come to grips with that. And you know, as this church, we've struggled with the kingdom message because the other message of dying and going to heaven is so much handier and so much more readily accepted and so much more appealing. Get out of here. Believe me, it appeals to me. I'll get out of here. I won't be here anymore. There'll be no problem. No pain. Nothing. And yet, that's not where God is going. If Christ had not been raised physically from the dead, it would all be different. We could say heaven is our home. We could say, yes, I'm going to go to that great place where everything is light and peace. I won't be troubled with the flesh anymore. We could say that, but it's not what the Bible says. The Bible's pointing to something else. And you know, even though we can't see it yet, it's better. And so our lot in this church, and I'm sure there's many others throughout the world, we've got to get a hold of God because the creation is in a travail. As we saw in Romans 8, Tuesday night, the creation is groaning, waiting for something to be born. And something to be born is the kingdom. And the kingdom is not in heaven. The kingdom is formed in us, but it's somewhere in the wisdom of God, it is going to find its venue, shall we say, on the earth. But before it does, something's got to happen, and that's the issue. That's what we're facing in this church. Before God can bring that paradise back to the earth, before he can take all that wonder and beauty that is in the spirit realm today, before he can bring that back and make it a part of the earth, something must take place. Do you know what that is? God must find people who, by the power of Jesus Christ, will lay down their life. Greater love than this has no man. And it doesn't stop with Jesus. If we love Christ and we love God and we know their plan is to establish their presence and fill the whole earth with the knowledge of their glory, and if we know that what that requires is not people who are just saved or people who are just saved and speak in tongues, but people who are saying, Father, even though I'm in this world and there are a million distractions, Not my will, but yours be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth. And for this purpose I set myself aside, that this yoke of sin might be broken, and that Satan might be cast down from the heavens, where he accuses men before God and is brought down to the earth and finally is cast out of the earth at the hands of God's saints. Hallelujah! And then will the heavens rejoice, because the accuser that accuses the saints is cast down. And down will come the Lord Jesus Christ with his saints, every one of whom who has laid down their life for the Master. And they will come down and drive Satan from the earth. And then out from them will come the release of the creation, so that the wolf can lay down with the lamb, and the little child can play next to the cobra's place in the earth, a hole in the earth. Oh, hallelujah. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's why Isaiah here, before describing this wonderful paradise return to earth, says, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's the word. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Hallelujah. Then and only then can this earth be what God planned from the beginning. Hallelujah. And all that today is so wonderful in the spirit realm in which we hope we go to, we know it's temporary. We know God's plan is to take that wonderful paradise and to bring it back down and to install it on the earth, because God has planned to set up his throne on the earth. It's a better realm, as marvelous the other is. Once it is clothed with flesh and bone, it will be infinitely superior. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we stand and give glory to God? Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. I tell you, I hear the drums of El Shaddai this morning. Let me tell you, he is looking for people who are willing to lay down their lives, that Jesus Christ might have vessels through whom he can bring to pass his earth, his will in the earth. Hallelujah. And you and I are privileged. We're privileged. We're privileged. We're privileged. And that's why Bob is saying, it's Christ in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have to get off the throne if he is to get on the throne. Hallelujah. Because he's going to do it. We can't. With his breath he will slay the wicked, and we are only his chariot. Blessed be his holy name. Oh, hallelujah to God. I feel like traveling on. Praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and give glory to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. He alone does wondrous things. That's all he knows how to do. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Oh, hallelujah.